Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Elson. We're set as usual for our Saturday afternoon show. And it's another delightful day in Chicago. There are a lot of things to listen to on radio today and also to see on television. And we're going to be talking sports with an old friend, Don Pearson, of the Chicago Tribune. And we have many, many things to talk about. And Don will be our guest in just about 1 minute. We're delighted to have Don Pearson, one of the outstanding sports writers in our town. Works for my old paper, the Chicago Tribune, one of the nation's great newspapers, as our guest on the program today. Don, I've often wondered about you fellows who were in the writing end of our business, where I happen to be in the talking end. How is your year broken up? Do you stay with one or two certain sports? How is that done?
Well, I cover football and track. And anymore, you think of football as being a three-month sport. It starts in the fall and it ends in the fall. That's not true. It starts in the summer and it ends in the winter. I go to Bears camp in July. I follow football right through until the Super Bowl in January. The Bears aren't in that yet. But then they have the draft in May, so right now I'm working on the draft. I cover track. That starts in January and lasts through August. You know how the sports are these days. Baseball, in the last 9 months, it seems like. Basketball and hockey are still going on.
They all overlap.
That's right.
When you say you're working on the draft, what do you mean?
Well, the Bears have two high draft choices in the draft in 3 weeks, and we're trying to figure out who they might take, who the best players in the country are, trying to pick the scouts' brains, see who the top players in college are and who's going to go first in that draft. Last year they had two picks in the top nine, and we tried to find out who they were going to be. This year they have later picks, and it's going to be pretty tough, but we're trying to figure out who they're interested in, who they might need.
Who do you talk to find that out, Hallis?
No, the Bears have two scouts that work full-time year-round, traveling around the country, visiting these schools, bringing players in to test them at Lake Forest. So I try to talk to them and other scouts around the country to get a line on who the best players are.
These players jump right from a college career into the pro game?
Oh, yeah. The top pick this year is going to be Billy Sims, the running back from Oklahoma. He's 25 years old now. He can jump into the pros pretty easily.
How many years has he been playing at Oklahoma?
He's been there 5 years. He's as old as Peyton right now. He won't have any trouble adjusting.
No, and he's really an outstanding back.
Oh, he's a great back. I read the other day where Detroit might be reluctant to pay him. Now, that would be a typical Detroit Lions trick to pass up the best player in the country just because they can't pay him.
They got plenty of money over there.
Oh, they all do. Every NFL team has plenty of money. They get $5 million a year from television, $5 million from the fans. They've got plenty of money. They just don't want to spend it.
When you say they get $5 million from TV, you mean every club gets it?
Each club, $5 million a year.
To start with?
Before they ever play a game.
Well, there's no reason to shed tears for the pro football owners, is there?
I don't think so, and that's one of the complaints the players have when they ask for $100,000 instead of $75,000. They're not free agents like baseball players. The salary hasn't escalated like that yet, but I think they're worth most of the money that they make. They've earned it. If television is paying them $5 million and the fans are paying them, well, what's a Bear ticket now, $11, $13? That's who you're going to see perform, so they earn the money.
Don, what is the outlook for the Bears? What do they evaluate, what they need? Based on what they did last season?
I think the outlook's real good. I think their defense became fairly solid last year. Their quarterbacking settled down a little bit. Phipps had a pretty good year. I still think Vince Evans is the quarterback of the future there. a lot depends on the injuries that they have. Roland Harper, can he come back? Alan Ellis, Gary Fincik, John Skibinski, can these guys come back? But they don't have any real obvious shortcomings or gaping holes in the team anymore. And I think that they'll do very well in their division this year. If Tampa won it last year, I would think anybody could win it that gets a good start.
Yeah, I agree with you. By the way, what is the position as far as public esteem today is pro football in? Now, baseball increases its attendance, it seems, every year. This year they'll probably draw more than they drew last year when they set a record attendance. What about pro football?
I think football had its third highest year in average attendance. Last year was the second highest, and I think 77 or 76 they had peak attendance. There's no, there are no indications that that interest or attendance or television watching is declining at all. There are 28 teams now. They're thinking of expanding to 30 and then 32. They're really riding the crest now. There don't seem to be the problems that there are in other sports like baseball. There isn't a strike. They're working under a collective bargaining agreement that will run out in 2 years. Everybody seems to like it. Even their injury problem, which is the biggest problem in football now, it hasn't kept the fans away. It hasn't kept the players from wanting to play. They try to make rules every year to improve that situation, especially with the quarterback. They've tried to protect the quarterback. Unfortunately, Roger Staubach, the best quarterback in football, quit this year because of injury, which is a low point in the game. I think it'll be a big loss. But other than that, football is really riding the crest, and the fans that can't get a ticket will attest to that.
What is the minimum salary now in football?
The minimum is $22,000, I believe, but hardly anybody makes that. The lowest draft choices start at $25,000, $27,000. The average salary is $60,000.
The average?
The average. That's for every position. Now, of course, a quarterback's average salary is over $100,000. The lowest paid players are the kickers, believe it or not. As much as they win and lose the games.
And they're the lowest paid.
That's right. Their average is only about $30,000 because they come and go so often. If they miss a kick, they get fired. They start over again.
How are the Bears in the kicking department?
They're very solid. The same two guys, Bob Thomas as the place kicker and Bob Parsons as the punter, have been there for, this will be Thomas's fifth year and Parsons' eighth year. That's a long time for kickers to be around. And that's one of Jim Finks's philosophies and one of the reasons why the Bears have improved. He sticks with guys that he thinks that he has confidence in, and they've come through for him.
Are there going to be any rule changes this year in pro football?
No, there weren't. They had meetings last month, and the only rule that changed that people might notice is they tried to protect the quarterback even more. In other words, now when he breaks out of the pocket, he's still considered a passer instead of a runner until he crosses the line of scrimmage. So you can't run back there and throw him, turn him around and pick him up and throw him down to the turf like these defensive linemen like to do. So that's the only rules changed at all.
Well, that isn't much, is it? You know, the game seems to be more popular than it ever was.
Well, I think it might be. The TV ratings would tell you that. And the fact that I think 23 teams this year raised their ticket prices. So they were helping inflation there, but they didn't seem to mind. They're not worried about people staying away. So I would say it probably is as popular as it's ever been.
Where is the? Is there going to be any surprise in the Pro League this year? Anybody strengthened? What about St. Louis? What about Green Bay?
I think you'll see all kinds of upheaval in the National Conference, especially because Dallas, which dominated for so long as a team on the decline, Los Angeles finally looks like they're as good as they're supposed to have been for years. Teams like the Bears, New Orleans, Washington, all showed some improvement last year. You won't see the same teams winning all the time, except I think for Pittsburgh. I think they're still the best and probably should be favored to win again unless Bradshaw or somebody would get hurt. They are super, super team, probably the best that's ever played.
Yes, they really are, not only offensively, but defensively. Man, what a defense they have.
Yeah, they've, they started with defense like every good team. They started building that defense maybe 10 years ago, with low draft choices, in fact. Then they got a couple high draft choices, and, they've been able to keep those players and keep them healthy, and, there really hasn't been a team that good ever, I don't think. Green Bay or any of the old teams have been this good.
Boy, Green Bay was really a legend, weren't they, for years?
Oh, yeah, and they were the first great team of the television era, so people identify with them, and they can remember all of the stories about what a Coach Lombardi was and how austere he was. In Pittsburgh, half the people wouldn't be able to name the coach. They're a low-key operation. They're in a smaller town. Not much media coverage, but they really are the great team of pro football history, I think.
What's going to happen with the St. Louis Cardinals? We think about the Cardinals because the ownership there came out of Chicago.
Well, the Cardinals weren't able to do it under Bud Wilkinson. They didn't allow him to do the kinds of things that he wanted to do. They didn't keep the players that he wanted or pay the players that he had. So that was unfortunate because I thought Bud Wilkinson was a very class guy, class operator. The coach that they have now, Jim Hanifin, was their former line coach, respected a great deal by the players. So they were my dark horse pick last year. I thought that they might win that division, but they disappointed me a lot. They had a tough early schedule and didn't win then, and nobody expected them to, but even in the end, when they had an easy schedule, they couldn't win either. So, I don't know. They've got a great, great back in Otis Anderson. They say he's the next Walter Payton, so who knows? Maybe they'll take up the slack in that division now that Dallas is on the decline.
Well, as an administrator, I never quite could go along with Billy Bidwell.
Well, these guys, you wonder what they're thinking about sometimes. They're in a very competitive business. There's only 28 of them. They all have a lot of money. It's not really that difficult to win if you do a few basic things that all the winners have done, and that's to keep your same general manager, keep your coach, work through the draft, not panic and trade away all your good players like the Bears did in 1969 after they lost the coin flip for Terry Bradshaw, and they've paid for it ever since. If you're patient, which Jim Finks is now, I think you can win because the draft makes it so that the poor can get rich in a hurry. So you wonder what owners like that think sometimes. And they lose players like Terry Metcalf, for instance, to the Canadian League because he doesn't pay him a few thousand extra dollars. It just doesn't make any sense.
Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is Don Pearson, well-known sports writer with the Chicago Tribune. And we'll be back with our guest in just about 1 minute. Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is a well-known sports writer, Don Pearson, of the Chicago Tribune, who covers sports generally, but whose main interest is the great sport of pro football. And pro football has really, Don, I mentioned this before, it's almost impossible to get a Bear season ticket right now.
Well, I don't have Bear season tickets, and I'm glad I don't need them, because it might be tough to get in that stadium. I understand, though, that they are increasing the capacity of Soldier Field by 7,000 or 8,000, be over the 60,000 mark, and they have plans, I'm told, and this may depend on Chicago politics, which aren't too stable at the moment. I'm told that Soldier Field has plans for expanding up to 70,000 to 75,000, so I think that might accommodate some fans who've waited a long time to get good Bear season tickets.
Have you been able, during your writing career, to spend much time with George Halas?
Not as much as I'd like. I didn't come here until the year after he'd quit coaching, so I was never able to argue with him and fight with him on a day-to-day basis when he was a coach. And I've heard some wonderful, marvelous stories about him when he was a coach and how he tried to manipulate the press. You know, he went from a time when he used to have to go around to newspapers with his own press releases and try to get publicity and try to get the Bears' name in the paper. And he evolved to the point where he was trying to keep certain things out of the paper at the end of his coaching career. But I enjoy the association I do have with him. I think he's a great man, and, of course, he started it all.
Yes, he certainly is one of the two or three founders of the pro game.
Oh, yeah. People like he are legends that you just can't believe when you see them that there wasn't anything before he started, and now they've got this multi-million-dollar business that I think it shocks him sometimes when he thinks about it.
Yes, I imagine it does. Well, we're talking about expanding. I don't know about expansion. You know, expansion waters down the product, and it certainly has in baseball. I can remember when baseball had 8 teams and 2 leagues, and they had it was very competitive. And then they expanded, and now there's the haves and the have-nots, and the have-nots don't seem to do too well. I would think that football would give that. Of course, there's a demand in certain cities that don't have it for pro football.
Yes, there is. And I agree with you, Bob. I used to be a great baseball fan when there were 8 teams. You could name every player on every team. Now I'd venture to guess that an awful lot of sports fans can't even name all of the teams. Certainly not all of the teams in all of the sports. I can't even name all of the sports. There's soccer and women's basketball and all kinds of things now. I think in football, though, they've been able to study this a little closer than in other sports. They don't go into just any city and start up a team on a lark. You realize that only one team, and that's the Chicago Cardinals, has changed cities in the last 20 years. And that's quite a record that speaks for itself in pro football. And that's one of the reasons that there's been such a flap over the Oakland Raiders trying to switch to Los Angeles. So I think football goes into these things a little more cautiously than others. And if their studies show that fans will not support 30 to 32 teams, then I doubt if they'll do it. But I kind of think that they're thinking along those lines.
Were you close to Pardee when he was here?
Yes, fairly close. I thought he was a very good coach, and I didn't realize he was as good as he must be, though. I think what he's done in Washington the last 2 years really speaks for itself. And the players here always thought, Doug Buffon, for instance, thought that he would go down as one of the great coaches in history. And at the rate he's going, he just might, because he's taken that Washington Redskins team everybody thought would be last for 2 or 3 years, and he's got them contending for a championship right now.
Is Kilmer coming back again?
No, he won't be back. But the Redskins do have a number one draft choice for the first time in 10 years. So I think that
it's a quarterback.
Well, I don't know. I think they've got a good quarterback in Joe Theismann, but I think with a number one draft choice and a number two, I understand, and Pardee's coaching, they're going to give St. Louis and Dallas a run for their money.
Well, I'd like to see it. I was very fond of Pardee.
I liked him. I think that he and Finks had some irreparable differences here. I don't know if that we'll ever get the complete story, a personality conflict of some kind, but he's enjoying Washington. I've talked to him this year, in fact, when Roger Staubach retired. And he and his wife and family love Washington. They played there. They like the weather. And he's much happier there than he was here.
What did the Bears actually need to be a real winner?
Well, I think they need, right now, they need better quarterbacking. They got fairly stable quarterbacking last year, but it wasn't spectacular. It wasn't the kind of quarterbacking that's winning Super Bowls now. The kind of quarterbacking that wins Super Bowls are the Bradshaws and the Staubachs and the guys that run out of the pocket and make a play when nothing's there. If you remember, the Bears season ended on the 9-yard line or 11-yard line, I forget, in Philadelphia. when Mike Phipps threw an interception in the end zone. Well, the great quarterbacks don't throw the interceptions down there. So I think that's what they need now is great quarterbacking. As fans, I know, have said that that's what the Bears have needed for years and years. My contention was always that they were so bad in every other position that a good quarterback would have just gotten killed. Now they're at the point where a quarterback can make a difference, and I think the quarterbacking next year, whether it's Phipps or Vince Evans, I happen to think Vince Evans is going to have to play for them to get to the Super Bowl, will make the difference.
What see, the league now has how many teams?
It's 28 now.
28.
28, and the original idea was to go to 32, and I know Pete Rozelle said during the Super Bowl that now they're thinking more along the lines of 30. So you can see that their expansion plans aren't as they aren't as quick to expand as many of the other leagues.
You know, we got commissioners in many sports, but I think Rozelle is about as good as there is, don't you?
Well, the owners think that, of course. He's done what the owners have wanted for years. He's the one man mainly responsible for the tremendously lucrative television contract. The players now think they deserve a bigger share of that pot, but the players don't have a Marvin Miller as their labor negotiator. So Rozelle is as respected as any commissioner in sports for what he's done. Yes, that's true.
I really think he's really done an amazing job. People talk about, well, baseball has its problems. Bowie Kuhn, they say, is no Judge Landis, but I don't know. I think Bowie Kuhn has done a good job.
That's what I understand. You said that this morning in the paper, Brian. Of course, I don't follow him that often. I know that he's been criticized a lot, but baseball, after all, is enjoying, you talk about football being on the crest. Baseball is making more money than they've ever made. The players are making more money. The owners are making more money. More fans are going to the park. There's more interest, I think, than there has been. There are better pennant races. You have to give somebody credit for that. And if Bowie Kuhn's a commissioner, I wouldn't think that you could criticize him too much.
Something.
That's right.
What about weeknight pro football? Does that really, is that better than Sunday?
No, I think it could be the downfall of football. Monday night football is one thing. That became a tradition and a fun thing for people to do. But the poll showed last year when TV went to Thursday nights and Sunday nights, people didn't watch. And they've taken off the Sunday night games now, and they've cut that way back on the Thursday night games. I don't think you're going to see football every night of the week. I think one of the things that makes football great, of course I'm prejudiced, is that you're able to read about it in the paper the next day. How many of these basketball games or hockey games, you never find out who wins or loses? They happen so late at night. They happen out in the West Coast. Nobody ever finds out about them. They're not all on television, certainly. So I think that's one of the things that has kept football interest great. College football has always been in the daytime. You can watch it on TV in the afternoons. You read about it the next day. These guys become famous. The players become household
words. I'd love to get your paper on a Sunday morning during the height of the college season and read all the football.
That's right.
And all those college games. Boy, you could spend hours at it.
If they were all night games, you wouldn't read about them at all, would you? That's one of the problems that I think baseball and, to a lesser extent, baseball, but especially basketball with their 80 games and hockey with all of their games, they lose out. It's a competitive market, and the newspaper's going to print what they can get in the paper. And if something gets over earlier, we're going to get in the paper.
Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is Don Pearson, well-known sports writer with a great newspaper, the Chicago Tribune. And we'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is Don Pearson, well-known sports writer with the Chicago Tribune. You know, the Bears seem to have finally come around where they've got a real good organization. I mean, Halas is still there, and I'm sure he's got his finger on most things that go on. They've got a good general manager. They've got a coach who was here a couple of weeks ago I like very much. I really think he knows football.
He does, and he's a fine gentleman, as you know. one of the class people in football. Wasn't that well known when he was hired, but it has always been Jim Fink's style to hire the kinds of people he thinks can get the job done and not care about what the fans or the media might think at first. That doesn't matter at all. A lot of sports organizations, general managers will play to the media and say, well, we've got to get this guy because he's popular, or do this, fire this kicker because the press is on him. That's not the way to do it. And I think the Bears have proven that. They've sort of outlasted their critics.
I'll say they have. Don, I want to thank you very much for making the trip and being with us today. I've enjoyed your comments, and I know the fans have too.
I always enjoy coming, Bob. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Our guest, one of the town's top sports writers, Don Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. Have a happy day. And now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Saturday at our usual time.